Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. If we claim to be sinless, we're self-deceived and strangers to the truth. If we confess our sins, he is just and may be trusted to forgive our sins and cleanse us from every kind of wrong. Let us together confess our sins. Almighty God, our Father, we have sinned against you and one another in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. In your mercy, forgive what we have been, help us to correct what we are, and direct what we shall be, through Jesus Christ our Lord. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's mercy never ends. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Grant to us, your people, that we may love what you command and desire what you promise, that whatever changes life may bring, our hearts may be fixed on you, where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, as your church, help us to love each other more and more, and that others would know that we're your disciples through that love. Let us grow in our faith and trust that you will provide both people and for the practicalities of the church buildings. Make us a people that are bound together by your Spirit. Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's continue in prayer. Father, we ask that you'll grow our church and especially the youth in and around it. Let them know your love and want to gather with your people to learn more about you. Use all the contacts that they have with Christians to let them see something of your kingdom and your love so that they'd want to know you and that those who do would want to grow in that relationship. Protect the relationships in their families and help them to mature in a stable and safe environment. Father, we thank you for the sale of Barmedman going through. Look after the practicalities around the building project so that we can move forward with its restoration, so that it can be used to build your kingdom. At the same time, help us as a congregation to keep our eyes on Jesus and remember that the church is the building, is not the building, but the people. Build us together in Christ, gathering around him. Lord, we ask for our farmers as we come into harvest time. We thank you for all the rain that we've had this year, but we ask that you'd control the weather so that they can harvest the crop. See your hand enabling them and praise you for it. Father, we ask for all those affected by the outbreak of the virus. Be with those who are infected and with any doctors and nurses treating them. Just place your protection around them, Lord. Lord, we ask for wisdom for our leaders in our federal government so that they'd make good decisions as we come out of lockdown. We thank you that we can sing together of our joy in you, but look forward to being able to do it from next week without masks and the rest of the restrictions easing. Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. But more importantly still, use this time to cause people to think about you. Use it to bring people to you so that they know and live out of a knowledge of Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now Jeff's going to bring us the second reading, which starts at the end of Matthew 13 at verse 53.
Matthew 13, 53 to 4, Matthew 14, verse 14. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offence at him. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honour. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, this is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Now Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered him a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for them and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist. The king was distressed, but because of his oath and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted, and then had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That is the word of the Lord.